You're listening to The Bridge Loud in Chicago on Q Rock 100.7 FM and online worldwide via thebridgechicago.com. Hey, this is Jed Brewer. Here's tonight's question. My brother works 80-hour weeks all the time, but he's never satisfied. It's like it's never enough. What's wrong with him, and what do I tell him?
The Bridge Loud. My name is Matt King, and I'm joined by Glenn Fitzgerald.
I'm a hard-working man.
And Jed Brewer.
I'm hardly working.
I am currently laying against a stoop with a straw hat pulled over my face, because I'm not a hard-working man, and I'm also from the 1890s.
That's good. That's good.
We are talking about work tonight. We have a question that came into thebridgeloud at gmail.com that says, my brother works 80-hour weeks all the time, but he's never satisfied. It's like it's never enough. What's wrong with him, and what do I tell him? These are good questions, and one of the reasons that I think this will apply to a lot of people, Jed, and I think you can start from this is actually a little more common than we thought it was when we started looking at it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We try to look up numbers on this stuff whenever we can. And so we looked at the government actually surveys people and they keep statistics on this. And it turns out that tens of millions of Americans actually work these kind of hours in a week. I mean, that's a lot of hours, man. Yeah. That's, you know, that's if you're a 5-day week, that's a 16-hour day. But actually, a lot of people do that. Literally, again, tens of millions of people do that. And, you know, your concern makes sense in that the people that study these things, generally speaking, you know, the more hours people work at a certain point, they do become less satisfied with their lives. And while we love people, we want them to have a good life. We want them to feel good about it. So it makes sense. You say, that feels like a lot, and surely that can't be making you happy, and it doesn't seem like it is, so what do I do?
You're absolutely right, and Glenn, I think we can apply that to the way we want our friend to talk to his brother here. It's actually a fair question. I love the way it's worded. What's wrong with him?
Right, that's right.
Because working is not fun. He won't spend a lot of time doing it.
Right.
But I think we want to look less at that and say, there's an idea that, you know, working, earning money, having purpose, all that stuff is good. Where has this thing that's good may have crossed over into something else?
Well, yeah, a part of our day job is we're working with guys who are sort of at the bottom of life, guys in a jailhouse and people coming in off the streets and looking to have a new spiritual life. That's, you know, we're doing Christian ministry as part of that. But the thing with that job is what we often find is people will take one thing that they need to do to better their lives, and then they do the ever-loving snot out of that.
Yes.
And they do that to the exclusion of everything else. So what we're always talking about is a balance. You need work, and you need to be committed to it. But there's a point where you need to do not that, because work is robbing you of other things in other areas of your life. It may be hurting other relationships. It may be keeping you from having a certain amount of just rest and, you know, mental peace and so on and so forth. So it's about looking at, is this something where a person's life is out of balance and helping them get back to that balanced life?
I think it's a very important point to look at it from that balanced point of view, because one of the things that will not work, we have to have a lot of, as Lynn's pointing out, in our day jobs, have to have a lot of conversations with people about this exact kind of thing. And we actually, you'd be surprised the number of ex-cons who work three jobs just because that's it. Work is good. I haven't gotten to work because I've been in jail. I will now do this all the way. And what never works is attacking the thing and saying, well, you know, your job's kind of dumb, and why would you want to be there, and all the people are jerks, and why don't you just come hang out, as opposed to saying, I understand, that seems good, let's look at the balance aspect. Let's look for, as opposed to, this is bad, do good, say, I understand why this is good, let's look for better, let's look for an actual fulfilling life that you want. And that's the satisfaction your brother's looking for, and we want that for him. We know you do, too, and we're back to look more at that on The Bridge Lab.
The Bridge Loud.
We're back to here on The Bridge Loud. My name is Matt King. I'm joined by Glenn Fitzgerald.
I'm just working for the weekend.
And Jed Brewer.
Everybody's working for the weekend, Glenn.
I celebrate Loverboy's entire catalog.
And it technically is the weekend, so...
You're welcome.
You made it!
We did it.
That's right. We're continuing to talk about being a hardworking man, or in our case, trying to understand hardworking people, which
yes.
is maybe a bit of a stretch. We can hear your question that came to the bridge at gmail.com, where you are welcome to write in your question if you'd like. This week says, my brother works 80-hour weeks all the time, but he's never satisfied. It's like it's never enough. What's wrong with him, and what do I tell him? And, well, let me get you to start us out. We talked in that last segment about the number of people overwork and maybe some reasons they do. Let's get more into that. As we're trying to understand someone to help them, I think it's important to dig into that. So what are some things people might think they're going to get out of this kind of schedule?
Well, that's the thing, is I don't think they ask that question. What is this really giving me? I think there's a sense of almost a superstitious idea. If I just work myself to death, it will ward off evil and
sure.
good things will happen. But I think about a relative of mine, and this is a brother-in-law, and he's got a wife, and their marriage is kind of in a strain because she's selling cars. Her career had fallen through, so she goes to a sort of a second career of selling cars. And the car salesman person, supervisor person says, you are not selling enough cars. We're all going to come in. We're all going to stay late. We're all going to sell extra cars. We have to sell cars this quarter, or this is all going to go under, and so on and so forth. And she's very stressed about it, whatever have you. So my question was, how often has he said this sort of thing? And she sort of thought about it, and she said, well, pretty much every time I'm talking to him, this is what he's saying. I said, well, honey, here's the thing. He's just trying to get you to sell more cars. You can come in and work a decent 40-hour week and sell a modest amount of cars, and then that's it. And then it's over with. He's just trying to see what he can get out of you. But it's that idea of that I have to, he's created sort of this artificial panic. I have to answer to that in order to keep my job, and that's all just artificial.
That's absolutely right. Jed, let me just pick us up there, because I think Glenn brings up something very important, which is about interrogating these situations, mm-hmm. asking what's there. Because, though, yes, we would all say that probably working an 8-hour week is not a healthy long-term strategy, there might be situations where, you know, you talked about this, say, you seem miserable as well, but we got sales goals, or I have to do my regular job and then do this a training on top of that. So, but for a little while, I've got to do it. But that's a little bit of a different situation than just engaging in misery, right?
There's no doubt about it. Here's the quick way to tell if a situation is unhealthy or not. Is this going anywhere? If your brother said, I want to go back to school. I need money for tuition. For a month, I'm going to do just crazy weeks, get a bunch of overtime, I can pay tuition, and then I'm going to school. Great. Sure. Fantastic. Yeah. Maybe there's better ways to do that. Maybe there's smarter ways to do that. I don't know. But this is a way to do it, and mm-hmm. it's going somewhere. If, however, he says, well, look, working's good, so I just got to work. I just got to work hard because I'm a hardworking man. Well, that's actually not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. There is no destination on this, so we're just kind of making ourselves unhappy for no reason. That goes from a sacrifice to a punishment. Sacrifices can be healthy. Punishment is not. If we're using work as an escape, as a way to avoid problem areas in our lives, we're definitely in a place where we're doing something unhealthy.
Absolutely right. We want the healthy thing for your brother, so we'll be back to talk a little bit more about that right here on the Bridge Lounge.
For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son.
You're here on the Bridge Lab. My name is Matt King, and I'm joined by Glenn Fitzgerald.
You've got to work it, work it.
That was a good pull. And Jed Brewer.
That actually was very well done. Yes. I approve.
Going quite well. We continue to talk about working it, not that way, in other ways. The question that came to thebridgelot at gmail.com says, my brother works 80-hour weeks all the time, but he's never satisfied. It's like it's never enough. What's wrong with him, and what do I tell him? And Glenn, I think what do I tell him is an important question. We want to get to that at some point, but there are steps before you do the talking that are very critical. Can we lay those out for someone?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to see someone who's kind of on something nuts and turn to them and say, well, that sounds nuts. I mean, that's certainly a temptation I feel a lot. I'm sure most people do. But again, in our line of work, we're dealing with people who have some dysfunctions, and we're trying to help them find a new life, have some breakthroughs. And so that's about finding ways of earning that right to be heard and earning the right to speak into their life. That means doing a lot of listening, as I was kind of bringing out in that last segment, asking questions. Why this? And exactly how does this work? And maybe helping them see a certain amount of that for themselves.
Absolutely right. And Jed, what would that practically look like if we catch a moment where our brother is not working or sleeping?
Sure.
What would that actually be to start this conversation?
Well, the thing, it's weird to say it because you're frustrated with your brother, and that it makes sense. But the thing that we really want to communicate is not frustration, but love. All right? And the easiest way to communicate love is to do something where you're serving that person. So maybe you say, if he's working 80-hour weeks, there's every chance he's got a third shift in there at some point. So you say, here's what I want to do, man. You're getting off at 6 a.m. I'm going to get up early. I'm going to take you to breakfast. You'll be hungry. You'll need to eat, and I'm buying. You know, you're a hardworking man, and I want to buy you breakfast. Okay, we're communicating love. You take him to breakfast, and you say, how are you doing? I know you're tired, but besides tired, how's the job going? We're putting in a lot of hours. How are we feeling about it? How are we feeling about life? And just give him a place to talk. Now, there's two key reasons why that's important. The first is, if he's not convinced that you care about him, he's not going to care what you have to say. And we really need to be crystal clear on that.
That's right.
You might say, well, I'm his brother. Of course I care about him. It doesn't quite work that way. You've got to, the phrase that we use a lot is you've got to earn the right to be heard by this other person. You earn it by taking him to breakfast at 6 a.m. and giving him a place to talk.
That's right.
You've earned the right to say something later. So, but the second thing is, if you listen to him talk, you'll have a better idea what to say. Right? If your brother's working 80-hour weeks and you think he's kind of crazy, I bet he knows that already.
Yeah.
And I bet he knows that other people in his family think that he's crazy and whatnot. But maybe he says something to you that gives you a clue of what the actual deal is. Maybe he says, well, look, you know, Cindy and I have been going through rough times, and I don't even know what to say, and we've been fighting about money, and it feels like one thing I could do is try and bring us some more money, so, you know, I'm just trying to do that. Okay, well, now we can speak to that. We can actually get into the relationship troubles, and, you know, maybe Cindy needs you around more, and maybe that's part of it and whatnot. But the only way we discovered that was by listening, by giving him a place to talk and a place to open up.
That's absolutely right. One of the things you may pick up if you listen to the show frequently is a lot of the way we address problems with the people we work with the question we get on the show, is looking for what Glenn would call the question behind the question. There's the problem with your brother is probably not that he works too much. That is very likely a symptom of a problem. And one of the interesting things is that very well may be the symptom of a problem he knows exists. He's just not wanting to look at. And a big part of this is helping that whole situation of digging into that problem. We'll be back with a little more on that right here on The Bridge Loud.
She's not like that. She's paper thin, but they say she's Loud.
Hey, this is Glenn from The Bridge Loud. Maybe you're listening right now and you're thinking, none of this good news applies to me because I've made mistakes and I've got a record. Well, you know what? No problem. We work every day with people who have been and sometimes still are behind bars. We know how to work with that and we ain't scared. Email us at thebridgeloud@gmail.com. That's thebridgeloud@gmail.com. We know you have struggles. We believe in you, and we want to help.
We are back here on The Bridge Loud. My name is Matt King, and I'm once again joined by Glenn Fitzgerald.
I'm the second hardest working man in soap business.
That's good. James Brown still holds the title.
That's right.
So joining us, Jed Brewer.
I like to bring him his cape. That's what I do.
Yeah.
He's given really hard performance and just cape.
Yeah. Also, I'm not sure we're in actual show business.
Certainly, almost certainly not.
Yeah.
We're at least not in one of those categories.
Yeah.
Not sure which one we're not in, but it's not both.
Sure.
We are continuing to answer a question, however, that came to thebridgeloud@gmail.com, where you are welcome to write in your own questions. This one says, my brother works 80-hour weeks all the time, but he's never satisfied. It's like it's never enough. What's wrong with him, and what do I tell him? In the previous segment, Jed mentioned the very smart idea that maybe if someone gets off a hard day at work on a third shift, you might want to take them to breakfast. Maybe you want to take them somewhere and eat some nice hash browns.
Mm.
Maybe you want those smothered, covered, scattered. But maybe you want something a little extra. Something a little secret.
The secret sauce!
So, Glenn, as you mentioned, this is actually something that comes up more than people might think. Directly, this situation, overworking with the people who are getting out of jail, getting out of addiction that we work with. So what do you tell people about that?
Well, I think there's a point where we look at work almost like we do a place where we will put God. We're sort of putting work in that space.
It will save you.
Yeah, it will save you. It will provide all the resources that you need. It will fix all your problems and give you purpose and meaning and... The thing is, work doesn't quite take you to that place. As Jed was suggesting in an earlier segment, we're putting a lot of effort in, but we really need to closely scrutinize what are we getting out of this and when are we getting it, and if we don't get it, what's plan B, and those kinds of things. It's important to look at having purpose and meaning and identity outside of work and be able to... punch that clock and go home and work those other priorities and have fulfillment in other places. Recognize work can't always do that.
Absolutely right. And Jed, maybe you can expand that for us just a little bit, this idea of it's not that work is bad, it's that you're trying to accomplish something and is work helping that or getting in the way of that?
Sure. If you want to have totally ripped legs and you do bench press all day, it will not get you there. Because it's not pointed in that direction. It does something else. If you want to have a good life, work is part of that, but it's not the whole of it. It can't be the whole of it. And in fact, if we overdo it, then we lose much of the benefit of it and it becomes a net negative rather than a net positive. God, if you can dig it, God actually wants to be the person that provides for you. You know, a lot of us were raised with the idea of, you know, you got to look out for yourself. Nobody else is going to do for you. But one of the things that we've discovered as people are into this Jesus thing is that God actually, he cares about your situation. He wants to provide for you. And if God's on your side, that actually gives you permission to rest. There's a work for you to do, a role for you to play, but at a certain point you can punch the clock and leave it in God's hands with the idea that he really will take care of you and that he really does want to.
Absolutely right. We'll be back with you next week right here on The Bridge Loud.
All right, that's our show. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you back here next week on The Bridge Loud. And let us know, are you ready to join The Bridge Loud tribe? We know you've got talents. Maybe you can scream or play the guitar or make a super cool graphic. Love it. Reach out to us at thebridgeloud@gmail.com and tell us what you do. We want your talents and gifts as a part of The Bridge Loud, so don't be shy. Let us know, thebridgeloud@gmail.com. We love you, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Help me to wait.